إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون إذ قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الدنيا كلها متاع وخير المتاع المرأة الصالحة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, the beautiful hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quoted before you, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the world in its entirety is an item of benefit. الدُّنْيَا كُلُّهَا مَتَاعٌ The world in its entirety is an item of benefit. And perhaps the best from which any man can ever benefit is a pious wife. Perhaps the best from which any man can benefit is a pious wife. We are living in a time and in an era where everything revolves around external beauty, despite the fact that the women of today are devoid of the spiritual beauty. When Allah speaks about the women of Jannat, the hurs of Jannat, then Allah describes their external as well as the internal beauty. قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ Allah says they are modest in their gaze. خَيْرَاتٌ حِسَانٌ They have impeccable character. They have sublime conduct and they are striking in their appearance. If a woman has striking appearance but she doesn't have akhlaq, wallah, you cannot become compatible and that marriage will not last long. Hence the Nabi of Allah says the best from which any man can ever benefit is a pious woman. Being the month of Dhul-Hijjah, perhaps to explain the benefit of one pious woman, how she can contribute to society, and how today the absence of a pious woman has led to chaos in the entire world. Let us start off with the beautiful incident of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and discuss it from a different dimension, and that is the contribution of his honorable spouse, that is Sayyidina Hajra alayhi salam. To commence first, we know the first wife of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was Sayyidina Sarah alayhi salam, the honorable consort of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a very respectable, very devoted wife of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. However, we know she was a barren and hence this relation did not have any children. And it was in this interim that she was given the gift of Hajra. Hajra alayhi salam was given as a gift to Sayyidina Sarah alayhi salam by the king of Egypt when he intended lustful contact with Sayyidina Sarah alayhi salam. And every time he stretched his hand, it became paralyzed. He was then convinced that this woman is a woman of exceptional piety. And he regretted what he did. He apologized and then he gave Sayyidina Sarah alayhi salam, Hajra alayhi salam as a gift. So after many years between the union of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyidina Sarah alayhi salam, when there was no children and there were the hopes of children were dwindling away as Ibrahim alayhi salam was also aging, likewise Sayyidina Sarah alayhi salam was also aging. Riwayat suggests that she had exceeded the age of 70. So one day she told Ibrahim alayhi salam, why don't I give this gift of mine to you, that is Hajra alayhi salam? You can perform nikah with this woman. And perhaps if Allah has decided, then Allah can bless you with a child, which will then brighten your life. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam accordingly agreed, and the nikah of Ibrahim alayhi salam was then performed to his second spouse, the junior spouse, that was Sayyidina Hajra alayhi salam. As Allah had planned, in this union was that person from whom comes the generation or the lineage of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah blesses Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with Ismail alayhi salam out of his second marriage and out of his second wedlock. In the initial stages when this child was born, it brought great joy, and Sayyidina Sarah alayhi salam, the first wife, also shared the joy of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But as time progressed, being the senior wife, she did not have a child. The junior wife had a child. There was a different relation now. Ibrahim alayhi salam had time with his child, and hence this started breathing an atmosphere of hostility between the co-wives. So Sayyidina Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam, after that, became difficult for her to get along with her co-wife. So she advised Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, maybe just to avoid friction, to separate the problem, why don't you take your second wife and your child and move them to a different location so there's no friction between us. Allah commanded Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to respect the request of his wife Sayyidatina Sara alayhi salam, and he respected her request, and accordingly he took his wife. And this was also the divine plan of Allah. He takes his wife Hajar alayhi salam, and he takes his little son Ismail alayhi salam, who was an infant, who was a suckling child. The command of Allah is to come and leave them in that land which is totally barren, who at that time nobody knew what was the future of Allah behind this particular land. He comes according to the riwayat, he leaves his wife and his suckling child at a point which was in closer proximity to the location of the Kaaba. The Kaaba of course was not yet constructed, but it was in close location to the Kaaba. And وَوَضَعَ عِنْدَهُمَا جِرَاب, he leaves a basket or a bag, فِيهِ تُرَاب, in which there were some dates, وَسِقَاءً فِيهِ مَا, and a little vessel in which there was some water. He leaves them there and he starts returning without uttering a word. ثُمَّ قَفَّ إِبْرَاهِيمُ مُنْطَلِقًا فَتَبِعَتْهُ أُمُّ إِسْمَعِيلُ, the mother of Ismail alayhi salam, that is Hajar alayhi salam, she runs behind her husband and she says, أَيْنَ تَذْهَبْ وَأَيْنَ تَتْرُكُنَا فِي هَذَا الْوَادِي, oh my respected husband, where are you off to? Where are you leaving us here? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't answer and he persists on walking. She then asks, Allahu amaraka bihada, is it then perhaps the command of Allah that you leave us in this land where there's no human, there's no grass, and the Quran goes on to say there's no potential of growth also. There's absolutely no provisions and no potential for growth. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, yes, it is the command of Allah. So then the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the mother of Ismail alayhi salam, says, إِذَا لَا يُضَيِّعُنَا, if it is the command of Allah, then Allah will not abandon us. Ulama ikram draw our attention at this critical juncture. For Ibrahim alayhi salam to leave his wife and child in a barren land is indeed an unparalleled sacrifice. But when we analyze the life of Ibrahim, being a Nabi of Allah, being the friend of Allah, being among the Ulul Azm Anbiya, perhaps we can understand and perceive that such a great man, hence it is possible for him to sacrifice. But the focus of my talk today is a pious woman. And while the iman of Ibrahim is impressive, the iman of Hajar alayhi salam is equally impressive. That she says, if it is the command of Allah, then it is enough. Allah will take care of us. Yesterday one father from Dubai came and left his son in the madrasa. And the father separating from his son, the son introduced me, says, tells his father that this is my ustad. When I met the father, it was such an emotional separation. The boy is 12 years old. He came and left his son there to study 7 years and acquire the knowledge of deen. And he says, Maulana, I leave my child in your care. Wallah, I started crying. The man was literally sobbing. Yeah, there will be some contact. This is a suckling child. There's absolutely no communication. There's absolutely no provisions. Nevertheless, Ibrahim alayhi salam goes. And إِذَا كَانَ عِنْدَ الثَّنِيَّةِ, as he passes and is out of sight from his wife and his daughter, wife and his child, he breaks down into emotions. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ, oh Allah, on your command I have complied and I have left my wife and I have left my child. But Allah, I am a father from father and I am a husband like any other husband. Allah, you take care. He did not show any form of weakness in front of his wife, but rather total compliance to the order of Allah. And when he was out of sight, he breaks down and he cries to Allah. On the other hand, the mother continues suckling her child. I quote the riwayat of Bukhari, she continues suckling her child. And she drinks from the water and she eats from the dates. Till comes the time, نَفِذَ مَا فِي السِّقَى, the dates are exhausted, the water is exhausted. Hence there's no more milk for her to suckle her child. So she puts the child down. And the riwayat suggests, جَعَلَ يَتَمَرَّغْ وَيَضْرِبُ بِنَفْسِهِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam started hitting his Mubarak hands on the ground and he started rolling out of hunger. The mother looking at this, the sight becomes unbearable. She turns her gaze away. She cannot see her child. The husband is gone. My focus is what one pious woman can do and how one pious woman can enhance a relation and how she can contribute to the society. So she stands up, she leaves her child, an unbearable sight for the mother. She runs and she climbs onto Mount Safa. Not the Safa that you and I have or where the pilgrims will converge in these days, which is tiled, which is acorn, where there is a buzzing atmosphere. But rather it is a Safa which is a barren land, where there is no human, there is absolutely no food, no provisions. She runs from Safa to Marwa. Sa'at sa'yal insan al-majhoon. And she's turning and turning for help, asking if there's any form of assistance. She runs from Safa to Marwa. Certain places she walks, certain places she runs. Allah was so impressed by the sacrifice of this woman that Allah ordered us to imitate and emulate her precisely. Allah said, where she walked, you walk. Where she ran, you run. In total compliance and resemblance to the the running of Sayyidatina Hajar alayhi salam. When she finally, for the seventh time, from Safa, she comes onto Marwa, she hears out a voice. So she addresses this person, "Wherever you are, I have heard you. If you can aid me, come down." Brothers, this is the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif. Finally, this angel comes down, and then he strikes his wing. فَضَرَبَ بِجَنَاحِهِ He strikes his wing on the ground, and the water gushes forth. She hastens towards the water. She gives the soothing, cooling water. She drinks from it. She gives it to her child. The angel then tells Sayyidatina Hajra alayhi salam, "La تَخَافُ الضَّيْعَ Do not fear destruction for this family. فَإِنَّهَا هُنَا بَيْتًا Very close by here will be the greatest house of Allah. And this infant and his father will build that house. يَبْنِي هَذَا الْغُلَامُ وَأَبُوهُ Allah has a bright future for this little boy. Don't become nervous by the current crisis. Allah is going to have his greatest home built here. And it will be this little infant with his father that will build this. Anyway, they start living there and they have this water. They drink from the water. And of course, while they had some provisions, they wanted to get into contact with people. One caravan of Jurhum, from a tribe called Jurhum, they were passing by, and they seen a bird circling above the water. So immediately they said, "Inna hadha ta'ir la yaduru 'ala al-ma'." If there is a bird circling here, that means there's water and there are people here. So these people came close, they found water, they found Sayyidatina Hajra alayha salatu was salam, and they asked her permission, "Ata'adhanina lana an nanzila 'indak?" Do you permit us? We also want to station ourselves here. Sayyidatina Hajra alayha salam, who was much anticipating people so that there can be some social contact, she more than happily agreed. However, she made one condition, that the water will remain our authority and we will have access to the water. We will not deprive you, but we will have access and authority over the water. They were more than happy and they also stationed themselves here. The riwayat continue that in due time Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam grew up and he started having a close relation with this little family, this caravan that came and stationed themselves here. And وَتَعَلَّمَ الْعَرَبِيَّ He learned the beautiful, eloquent language of Arabic. And in this process, as he was growing up and he became a teenager, مَاتَتْ أُمُّ إِسْمَعِيل This woman passes away. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu was salam was then married to a girl from this Jurhum tribe. فَزَوَّجُوهُ إِمْرَأَةً مِّنْهُمْ He was then got married to a woman from this Jurhum tribe. He was familiar with them. They were familiar with Ismail alayhi salatu was salam. And they were living together. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was out on the command of Allah. One day Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam returns and he comes home. And he comes to the house of his son. He doesn't disclose who he is, but rather he disguises himself. He knocks on the door. His daughter-in-law opens, knowing not that this is my father-in-law. She opens the door. He inquires, "Is Ismail present? That is the son." She answers in the negative, no, kharaja yabtaghi lana. My husband is gone out to earn some livelihood. The elderly man then asks, "How's your conditions at home? Are you people stable in your relation? Are you happy with the way life is carrying on?" So she complains and she says, no, we are not happy and we're going through a lot of problems and a lot of financial difficulties and things are not going well with us and there's a lot of adversity. So this elderly person then tells his daughter-in-law, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, "Idha ja'a zawjuki," and she complained, "Lord, when your husband returns, فَقْرَيْهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ Then convey my regards to your husband, وَقُولِ لَهُ And tell him, يُغَيِّرْ عَتَبَةَ بَابِهِ That when he comes back, convey my salams and tell him that I came here and my advice is he must change his doorstep. So the woman agreed and that was good enough. The elderly person then returned and went away. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam returns in the evening. He returns in the evening. As soon as he comes, he sends that there was someone home. كَأَنَّهُ آنَسَ شَيْئًا He asked his wife, "Hal ja'akum min ahad? Did we have any visitor today?" She says, "Yes, ja'ana shaykhun kada wa kada." We had an elderly man that came and he asked about you. I said you were out. Then he asked about our condition. I spelt it out loud and clear that we are not having a good life and we are facing a lot of adverse conditions. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam then asked, did this elderly person give you any advice? Hal awsaki bi shay? So she says, "Yes, he advised me that I must convey his regards to you and I must also tell you, you must change your doorstep." Now subhanallah, Look at the compliance of this young boy. And perhaps, may I implore to the youth that have gathered here. Wallahi, if you want to secure joy in your marriages, invoke the blessings of your parents. I am inundated with calls of youth who regret going against and violating the requests of their parents. I know of a recent person, a very professional person. He says, "Maulana, wallah, I have learned the hard way in my life. I will never venture into anything until my parents are not happy. I got married to a woman contrary to the wishes of my parents. Till today, I'm seeing the repercussion of going against the will of my parents." Ismail alayhi salam tells his wife, "Dhaka abi, for your information, that was my father. Wa alaykum salam to his regards." And when he told me to change the doorstep, reference was towards you that I must divorce you. Hence, I formally, officially divorce you. You can now go live with your family. Ilhaqi bi ahlik, you can now go and live with your family. Like in Arabic, they say, there's an Arabic couplet, they don't get married to six type of women. لا تنكح أنانةً ولا منانةً ولا حنانةً ولا حداقةً ولا شداقةً ولا براقةً. لا تنكح أنانة. Don't get married to a woman that is always complaining, always moaning, always groaning. Every time she has a problem, and every time the marriage sees a problem, she talks, you know, I would have rather responded to that particular proposal. Like they say, marriage is a process of finding out the type of wife, the type of husband your wife would have preferred. Marriage is a process of finding out the type of husband your wife would have preferred. لا تنكح أنانة. Do not get married to a woman that is always complaining. منانة, a woman that reminds you of her favors. I've done this for you, I've done this for you, I do so much for you. Don't get married to such a woman. منانة, حنانة, a woman who after losing her first husband, then get remarries and abuses the wealth of the second husband on the children of the first husband. حنانة, حداقة, a woman who attracts other men towards her with loose morals. She uses a seductive approach towards strange men and not towards her own husband. Haddaqatan, shaddaqatan, a woman who is only beautifying herself, only adorning herself, only in the cosmetic industry. And barraqatan, a woman who has a foul tongue. So six people you should never marry. Nevertheless, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then tells his son that you must remarry. And here again is another point that I may urge. Often we find a situation that a marriage does not last. Now after the marriage is dissolved, it does not mean we must not remarry. Islam, this is not the message of Islam. Life has to continue. There could be certain sour occurrences, but that should not put us, you know, promote a negativity from the very concept of marriage. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam then remarries again into the very same tribe of Jurhum. And he gets married to another woman. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is gone. Sometime later he returns. He comes home, he knocks on the door. His daughter-in-law now welcomes him. Look at the difference between the first wife and the second wife. She welcomes him. He inquires, is my son Ismail at home? So the wife answers that, no, he is not here, but you can please come inside, oh my respected father-in-law. He then asks, his daughter-in-law, are you people happy in your relation? She says, yes, alhamdulillah, we've got nothing to complain about. Allah is exceptionally kind and we are very, very happy. He then inquires, what is the food you people eat? She says, we eat meat. What is the drinks you have? We drink water. He then makes dua, Allahumma barik lahum fi ta'amihim. Oh Allah, give them barakat in their food and give them barakat in whatever they have. He then tells his daughter-in-law, when your husband returns, convey him my salams and tell him he must hold firm onto his doorstep. Tell him he must grab onto it. He has a treasure with him. He has a pearl with him. He must never leave it. Nevertheless, and she praises Allah that Allah is very kind to us. When Ismail alayhi salam returns, again he senses that someone had come home. Today, what is the condition of our woman? Could they receive someone that comes home? Look at the akhlaq. And as parents, what is our message we are giving? What is our message to our children that are leaving? The riwayat of Bukhari says that one day the wives of Nabi alayhi salam were sitting around him. In that was Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Hafsa, and Abu Bakr and Umar were present. And these two wives started talking and they said, you're not giving us enough money. وَحَوْلَهُ نِسْوَةٌ يَتْلُوبْنَهُ وَيَسْتَكْثِرْنَهُ. Abu Bakr reprimanded his daughter and he said, how dare you ever demand anything from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? And the same thing Umar radiallahu anhu tells his daughter. So anyway, when Ismail alayhi salam returns, the wife narrates the entire incident. And he says that, you know what, this person came and she praises the father, a very respectable, very noble man came. I entertained him. He conveyed salams and he said, you must hold firm onto the doorstep that you have. So then Ismail alayhi salam divulges the secret and he says, that is my father. And subtle reference in that was that I must hold you and I must value, for verily you are the greatest treasure that Allah has given me. Further, the riwayat suggests one day he was living in this very time and then his father comes and he stands up and he embraces his father. His father then tells him, oh Ismail, Allah has sent upon me a command. In Allah amarani bi amrin. Allah has commanded me to do something. Ismail alayhi salam says, oh my father, if it's the command of Allah, then comply. So Ibrahim alayhi salam says, will you help me in discharging the command of Allah? He says, most definitely I will help you, oh my father. What is it? Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Allah has commanded me that I must build the Kaaba. Father and son, Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Quran then describes this picture. Ismail alayhi salam brings the stones and the bricks. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, father and son, complying to the command of Allah, decorating that house of Allah, which has a natural attraction in the heart of every believer. وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل. When his father and son working in the shop, father and son cleaning the garden, father and son perhaps doing something in the office, father and son constructing the first house of Allah. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Oh Allah, accept from us. Really brothers, I have so much more to speak on the aspect of a pious woman. There is a hadith in Muslim Sharif and it appears in other kitabs as well. A sahabi by the name of Junaybib, he did not have much recognition in society. So one day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told one of the Ansar, I want to get married to your daughter. That Ansari got very happy, said, oh Nabi of Allah, if you want to get married, that will be the greatest joy. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, not for me, for one of my sahaba. He says, okay, then I'll have to consult with her mother. Anyway, she goes home, she consults with the mother, with his wife. He tells his wife, you know what, the Nabi of Allah is proposing to your daughter. She gets very happy. She says, well, if it's the Nabi of Allah proposing, I'm very happy. Then he tells his wife, well, the Nabi of Allah is proposing for someone else by the name of Julaybib. So the mother asks, like often we say, what can we do? The mother asks, is Julaybib the son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is interceding on behalf of this boy? So the husband answers, no, he's not his son, but he has just interceded and he has asked our daughter on behalf of the sahabi. So the mother said, no, I don't know who is this person and I'm not happy. I decline this proposal. Anyway, the father says, well, if the wife denies, what have I to say? He's on his way returning. As he's returning, the daughter overhears the discussion. She says, oh, my parents, it's concerning me. Give me a say in the whole thing. It's concerning me. Let me also have a word in the whole thing. Don't see who is the person proposing. See who has sent the proposal. If that proposal has come from the Nabi of Allah, I am more than happy with it. She accepts the proposal. The father comes and says, oh, Nabi of Allah, this is what initially transpired. But my daughter has agreed. The nikah was performed. The nikah was performed. Now look at the wisdom and how Allah favored this daughter and this girl because of complying to the order of Allah. How much barakat Allah brought in this marriage. Perhaps today we don't have the Nabi of Allah before us, but yes, we have the guidelines of the Nabi of Allah before us. Who are they that is ready to accept and embrace the guidelines of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when selecting a spouse? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam and the sahaba participate in a particular campaign. And as was the practice after the battle was over, the Nabi of Allah would inquire, have we lost any sahaba? Has there been any casualties in this particular battle? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هَلْ تَفْقِدُونَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. Is there anyone missing in this battle? Sahaba said, no, O Nabi of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but I don't catch sight of Julaybib. وَلَكِنَّنِي أَفْتَقِدُ Julaybib. Where is Julaybib? I do not see Julaybib. Go and look for him. Sahaba went in, they found him lying next to 7 kuffar. He had killed them, and then some kafir came and struck him, and he had passed away and taken his last breath. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then came. Now see how the Nabi of Allah became passionate in this particular sahabi. And I will tell you the dua Nabi alayhi salam made for this girl. For this girl who gave total recognition to the requisites and the request of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Nabi alayhi salam came and lifted this sahabi with his mubarak hands. There was none to shelter and to carry him other than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. While thousands of people die in the laps of kafir nurses and thousands die in the lap of a kufr environment, can we imagine this sahabi who is in the hands of Nabi alayhi salam? Sahaba says Nabi alayhi salam himself carried him, himself lowered him into the grave. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua and he said, Hada minni wa ana minhu, Hada minni wa ana minhu, Hada minni wa ana minhu. Oh Allah, this man is part of me and I am part of him. Oh Allah, he is part of me and I am part of him. Oh Allah, he has given his life, you accepted. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allahumma subba alayha subba. Oh Allah, this young girl who got married to this sahabi exclusively out of my joy and my happiness. Oh Allah, you shower your choicest blessings in the life of this girl. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ عَيْشَهَا كَدَّا. And oh my Allah, let never this girl ever taste misery in her life. Oh Allah, let her only see joy, happiness and prosperity and never let her see any difficulty. Sahaba say, after the dua of Nabi alayhi salam for this woman, the prosperity that this girl enjoyed, no other woman in the entire Ansar enjoyed it. All the women used to envy this girl because she gave recognition. And this is that mar'atu saliha. I have still much to say, but my time has left. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that He give us in our own environments, our own daughters that become those pious role models of Islam, and our own wives. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And just as the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, wallah, it took the combined devotion of Ibrahim and Hajira for them to enjoy a son like Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. It was the share of the mother also in that child becoming the friend of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala save our women from this evil environment. Make them that pious woman that the Nabi of Allah says it is the best from which any man can ever benefit. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.